There are several things being said here. One is that the kingdom, spoken of by Christ in three different ways. First of all, that it's some kind of in a distant future, far off. Other times he speaks of it as if it's close, it's imminent, it's right around the corner, it's in our lifetime. And then thirdly, he speaks of it as now, it's already here. And since Jesus speaks of it in all three of those ways, there must be some truth that the now and the future are kind of one and the same. They're so tied together that you can't separate them. Now, this is true in secular life as well. The way you live in your 20s largely determines what you're going to be like in your 50s. The present is the future. It determines the future. So you make choices early in life that, while they don't necessarily trap you in certain modes of existence, they do open certain doors, and they do create patterns that probably, for most people, are going to be true decades later. Well, the same is true in our spiritual lives and in terms of now and the eternity. What we are doing now, the choices that we are making now, largely determine where we're going to be and what we're going to be for all eternity. Now, that doesn't count for God's mercy, and we trust that God understands the interior existence and heart of every person, and so it's not for us to judge. And we, hopefully, through purgatory, trust in God's mercy for us. We trust that God is patient with our taking forever to get it. But at the same time, it's still true, largely, that the choices we make now determine an eternal future for us. So, if you look at it in that way, this parable that Jesus is giving us in the gospel today is about our attitude about God's gifts to us. So, God gives gifts, according to the parable, each according to their ability. So he gives more gifts, he entrusts more with people who are capable of more. But then he's going to require more of them. And he gives less to those who are capable of less, but something is required of them as well. Not as much, but something is required. So the first two, they take the gifts that have been given and they invest them, they enlarge them, they expand them, they multiply them. But they take some risks in doing so, because for whatever reason, they trust in this master, and they're willing to make that risk. The third servant doesn't trust the master. He keeps remembering what a hard taskmaster he is, and how demanding he is, and how he reaps what he didn't sow, and all those kinds of things, and he just keeps that in mind, and so he digs a hole in the ground and buries it, and so it doesn't enlarge, it doesn't multiply at all, and then he just gives it back. No return. Now, one of the lessons of this parable is very similar to another parable that Jesus tells about a servant, an unjust steward, who is about to be relieved of his service for dishonesty. And so he calls in his master's debtors and lessens their debt over and over again. He's treating the master's money as if it were his own. It's very dishonest. But the master praises him for his ingenuity. What Jesus is saying by that parable is, love, mercy, compassion, these are gifts that come from God and they don't belong to you. But God wants you to use them as if they did belong to you, because they've been given to you. Enlarge them, expand them. Same with this parable. The gifts of mercy, love, compassion that are really God's have been given to us as if they were our own. And in the same way that God is always dying to self and always giving away and never demanding back, never taking, but always giving. God wants us to be that way. Gifts, talents, they've been given to us not to hang on to and to hoard. They've been given to us to let slip through our fingers, to give them away. The only way to gain your life is to lose your life. The only way to expand and multiply is to let go, to lose. But in order to do that, you have to trust the Master. You have to not be afraid of him. The third man lives in fear. He lives in doubt. And so therefore, he's closed and he hoards what little he has. He digs a hole in the ground and saves it. But if you trust, if you have some self-confidence that comes from learning over and over again that everything that God gives you is to be given away, and that that always comes back to you in other ways, and the longer you live in that kind of an attitude, the more of a risk taker you are, the more you are comfortable hanging out on that limb, swinging in the breeze. Christ is our model, isn't he? He hangs on a tree. He risks his life. That's kind of scary for most of us. But that's the model that God is giving us. Someone hanging on a tree, out there on the edge, swinging in the breeze, without too much fear of falling. That's what it means to live in the kingdom. That's what it means to live in freedom, distress-free, hopeful. Now, depending on where each of us comes from in our rearing, in our past experiences, we're all in different places with that. And God is patient with everyone, wherever they are. But we must hear this call. We must hear this call to let go. The reason at the end of the church year we always hear these stories, these scripture passages about the end times, about the last days and the imminent coming and the surprise of it and everything like that, because most of us occasionally need to be jarred into a realization that what works for us in a small, tight, conservative way, a hoarding, fearful way, may get us by in this life. But God is asking much more of us than that.